Chapter 7 The Dirty Dishes. When I came back into the house from the porch, Sidney Krautheimer was downstairs, dressed to go hunt for Sasquatch. He wore full camouflage gear and was holding a double-barreled shotgun. Worried, I said, "I thought you weren't going to kill Sasquatch."
"I'm not planning on it," Sidney replied. "Gavin and Zach are bringing sedation rifles for us. We keep those over by the barn because we generally use them for managing the bison. But only a fool goes after a grizzly without heavy artillery. Where bears are concerned, you need to be prepared for things to go wrong."
The shotgun had a strap attached to it, which he used to sling it over his back. I wasn't pleased that Sasquatch might end up getting shot. But I understood Sidney's reasoning and didn't argue the point. After all, he was the one going after the bear, not me. The front door was wide open once again, although this time it was because the Krautheimers were in the process of heading out for the hunt. I noticed that Evan was crouched just off the front porch, shining a flashlight over the ground. Sidney headed out to join Evan, and I followed. As we passed through the front door, I took a moment to inspect it. The door had a deadbolt lock, which needed a key to open from the outside, but could be locked by hand from the inside. The door jamb was completely intact, indicating that the deadbolt hadn't been engaged when the bear came in. "Was this door locked last night?" I asked. Sidney paused to think about it.
"Honestly, I don't know. There's a good chance it wasn't. We don't usually lock it. That's one of the nice things about living out here. No crime." "Except for disappearing bison and stolen necklaces," I thought, although I didn't say it.
My parents and I rarely locked our trailer either, but the access to our trailer park was restricted because it was on Fun Jungle property, and we didn't have much worth stealing. "Sasquatch came in this way last night," I said, "or I assume he did, because the door was wide open behind him. Can a bear open a door?" Sidney thought about that for a moment.
"I've never heard of it, but I wouldn't put it past them. Bears can be pretty darn smart when food is on the line. That's why we have to put 3 different latches on the shed for the garbage cans. If you only use one, they'll figure out how to open it, even though your standard 3-year-old human can't."
He turned to Evan.
"What have you got?"
"Not much," Evan replied. "It'd be a lot easier to read these in the sunlight."
"Read what?" I asked.
"Sasquatch's tracks," Evan replied.
The Krautheimers' house didn't have a lawn. There was only natural grassland around it, with a dirt path leading to the front door. In the beam of Evan's flashlight, I could see there were some scuffs in the dirt, although I couldn't make sense of them.
"Evan's one of the best trackers in the county," Sidney told me proudly. "He used to win all the competitions in it when he was younger."
"You're a tracker?" I asked Evan, surprised. "I thought you didn't like being outdoors."
"Just because you're good at something doesn't mean you have to like doing it," Evan said.
He hadn't looked up once from the ground the whole time we'd been speaking. Now he pointed to the various marks in the dirt he'd been studying.
"These are the tracks Sasquatch made when he came to the house. See, he's only using the pads of his paws, no claw marks. He was moving slowly then, taking his time. Looks like he pretty much followed the path to the front door."
"So he came from the road?" Sidney asked, sounding surprised.
"Or maybe the Spooner Ranch."
Evan pointed toward the road, but it was far enough away that I could barely see it in the dim morning light. In the distance, well beyond the road, was a much brighter light, a lamp in the window of the home of their closest neighbor. It seemed to be at least a half mile away. Sidney grunted at the mention of the Spooner Ranch. It was hard to get much meaning from a grunt, but it seemed negative to me. Evan pointed to another set of bear tracks by his feet.
"This is the trail Sasquatch left when he ran off. You can see how his claws were digging into the ground. He went around the house that way, past the kitchen. He pointed toward the opposite end of the house from the guest bedrooms. I felt a wave of relief pass over me. If Sasquatch had gone the other direction, he would have run right into Summer, who had been heading toward the front door after having climbed out her bedroom window. I heard voices in the direction Evan was pointing, coming our way. I couldn't quite make them out, as several people were talking at once, but they sounded breathless, like the people were walking quickly while they were talking. Mixed in with them, I also heard heavier footsteps and an occasional snort. Horses. And a bit of panting and whining. Dogs. Several people emerged from the pre-dawn gloom. Heidi Krautheimer was leading Jasmine and the three ranch hands back to the house. In her haste to go rouse them, Heidi had only pulled a heavy jacket and boots on over her pajamas. But the other four had been given time to dress. They were leading 9 horses, each of which had already been saddled. Several of the saddles were fitted with slings to hold weapons. I noticed both sedation rifles and shotguns. Zack had 2 mid-sized dogs with him. They were straining against their leashes, enthusiastically sniffing at the ground, eager to follow the scent.
"We're good to go," Zack reported.
"So am I." Melissa bounded out the door, ready to ride, surprisingly chipper for someone up so early, not to mention someone whose house had been recently trashed by a grizzly bear. Like her father, she was dressed from head to toe in camouflage gear. She looked to her brother.
"Ready?"
Evan made a face.
"We might as well go back to sleep. We're never going to find him."
"Not with an attitude like that, we won't," Sydney said. "We've got the dogs to find the scent, but we need you to follow the tracks. So stop kvetching and get your head in the game."
"I don't get why it's such a big deal," Evan groused.
Sydney pulled Evan aside and spoke to him in a low voice, although in his haste, he didn't seem to notice I was close enough to overhear. J.J. McCracken is thinking about buying this ranch, and he's thinking about paying us very nicely for it. But now a grizzly bear has broken into his bedroom and eaten his wife's extremely expensive necklace. Do you honestly think if we don't get that back, that J.J. will go through with this deal? Evan sighed heavily.
"Fine, I'll do my best to find Sasquatch, but I can't promise anything."
"Your best is all I ask," Sydney said, then turned to his ranch hands. "Let's mount up."
Zack unclipped the dogs from their leashes. They bolted off into the darkness, howling with excitement. Melissa, Gavin, Zack, Evan, and Sydney hopped onto their horses with the practiced ease of people who had done it thousands of times. Even though Gavin was older than my parents and Zack was built like a brick wall, they still moved with effortless grace. The 5 of them set off around the house in the direction the dogs had gone. Jasmine and Auryn didn't go with them. They remained behind with the other 4 horses.
"Who are those horses for?" I asked.
"One of them's for you," Jasmine answered.
"Me?" I asked, surprised. "I can't go hunt for Sasquatch."
"We aren't going after the bear. We're going to figure out what happened to the bison, remember? Last night I said we'd go first thing in the morning."
"It's not even 6 o'clock, I exclaimed. "The sun isn't even up yet."
"It will be soon," Jasmine said. "Best time of day to see the herd. Besides, you're already up, and I understand Summer is too."
"What were you thinking you were going to do? Go back to bed?"
She said this in a tone that indicated only the lamest person on earth would do such a thing. It occurred to me that I didn't really have a reason not to go with her. After all the events of the morning, I was wide awake, and since J.J. had told me to keep my investigation into who'd stolen the necklace a secret, I couldn't very well insist that I had to stay behind to do that. Plus, in a way, going along with Jasmine and Auryn was investigating. I needed to question them.
They hadn't been in the house when Sasquatch broke in, but they had been there earlier in the evening. I didn't know how they could have swiped the necklace, but I had to assume that anyone who had been around the night before was a potential suspect. "Let me go get my clothes on," I said. I was still in my pajamas with the bathrobe over them. "Make it snappy," Jasmine said, "and see if Summer wants to come." I returned to the guest bedrooms. The door to the McCracken's room wasn't shut, seeing as it had been taken off at the hinges. Summer was still in her pajamas, tending to her mother, who had lain back down in bed. Candace had calmed down a lot since I had last seen her. In fact, she was asleep. Summer put a finger to her lips, cautioning me not to speak. Then she came to the door and spoke in a whisper. "Mom was all worked up, so she took another pill to get some more sleep." I explained that Jasmine had brought horses, ready for us to go investigate the missing bison. Summer was as surprised as I had been that Jasmine wanted to go so early, but, as usual, she was game for an adventure. She agreed to get dressed quickly. I slipped into my room and informed my parents what I was going to do. In the past, they hadn't wanted me investigating mysteries, as that had often put me in danger, but they didn't seem too concerned about this one. Or maybe they were simply relieved that I was merely riding off to see some bison instead of joining the bear hunt. "Have fun," Mom said. "And try not to fall off the horse," Dad added. "Why does everyone think I'm going to fall off the horse?" I griped. I got dressed as fast as I could, then headed back out again. In the hallway, I ran into Summer, who was now dressed to ride. "Can we swing by the kitchen?" she asked. "I want to get a quick bite, just in case we're not back for breakfast." That sounded like a good idea. To my surprise, despite the enormous amount of food I had consumed the night before, my stomach was grumbling. I figured that maybe the adrenaline rush of running into the bear had burned a lot of calories. We popped into the kitchen and found a jar of homemade granola on the counter. Summer was grabbing baggies for us to put it in when my eyes fell upon the sink. There was a pile of dirty dishes in it, the dessert plates from the night before. Heidi Krautheimer had told us all to stack them there, claiming Daisy Creek would clean them in the morning. Some of the guests had practically licked them clean, but most of the plates still had the remnants of crumble and whipped cream encrusted on them. I suddenly realized what had been bothering me about Sasquatch's entry into the house the night before. "What's wrong?" Summer asked. "Hmm?" I pulled my attention away from the plates and shifted it to her. "Nothing." "Don't lie to me, Teddy. I know the look that was just on your face. You know something's wrong. What is it?" I decided there was no point in keeping what I had noticed to myself. "There's a dozen dirty plates in the sink." "Right. Daisy went home while we were having dessert, so no one cleaned them. Everyone's been thinking that Sasquatch was lured to your room last night because your mother brought her dessert in there," I said. "But that was only one plate. There's much more dessert left in this sink. If that was all Sasquatch was interested in, it would have been a lot easier for the bear to come in here. This is much closer to the entrance, and he wouldn't have had to knock down a door to get it. So why'd he go to your room?" Summer gave me a look that said she was impressed by my realization. "I don't know, but I'm sure you'll figure it out." I frowned, not so sure about that myself. I might have had success in the past deducing what humans had been thinking when they'd committed a crime, but I had no idea if I could figure out what a bear had been thinking. "Hey," a voice said behind us. We turned around to see Jasmine standing in the kitchen doorway, looking impatient. "We've got a mystery to solve," she said. "Let's ride."